Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Last Friday, as we all know now, a deranged man went into a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and shot dead three innocent people. One of them, Karen Stewart, was a 29-year-old veteran of the Iraq War who leaves behind two daughters. They're 5 and 11 years old. Another woman, Jennifer Markovsky, aged 35, was just there with a friend at the clinic. The third person murdered was Garrett Swayze, a police officer with the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs, who bravely responded to the call. This is an act of terrorism. There's no other name for it. When you kill innocent people for political causes, that's terrorism. And if I were as unfair as some of the Republican candidates are, I would say that radical Christianity is a real problem in this country. We've got to do something about radical Christians. Radical Christians are a danger to this planet. And indeed they are. No doubt this man, and I've decided not to name the murderers on this program, not that it changes much, but at least it puts a little more focus on the victims than the murderer. Apparently, at the time of his killing, he said something to the effect of, "No more selling baby parts." Something like that. Now, when you think about this, first of all, it's all a lie, and we'll get into that, how this rhetoric, largely put forward by people like Carly Fiorina running for president of the United States, is a complete slander against Planned Parenthood. If you're opposed to abortion, fine, you're opposed to abortion. But Planned Parenthood doesn't sell baby parts any more than the people you donate your hearts and lungs to sell donated hearts and lungs. We'll get to that. Let's focus right now on this terrorist act by this radical Christian. I don't like saying those words, just like I don't like saying radical Muslim. I think it is reductive. I think it's too simplistic. I think the vast majority of Christians are peaceful. I think the vast majority of Muslims are peaceful. I think actually in some ways it's an insult on Christianity to call the guy a radical Christian, even though what he did might well be in the name, who knows, of some radical Christian ideology. That's not fair. It's not fair to Christians. It's not fair to Christianity. It's why I think many of the Democrats shy away from the term radical Muslim. Now, I've used it. I get it. The point is not that he's Christian. The point is that he's radical. But he's doing it for a political cause, and radical may not even be a strong enough word. He's a murderer. He's a terrorist. He's also probably mentally ill. We've talked often about how easy it is for people who are mentally ill to have access to guns in America. And only in America, not in Canada. Well, Canada's part of North America, but only in the United States. Not in Canada, not in the United Kingdom, which is England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, not in France, not in the Netherlands, not in Germany, not in Japan, not in Australia. You get the picture. There, it's quite hard for mentally deranged people to get guns. And I wonder, and I want to ask you this question, I wonder whether some of the hateful rhetoric spread by people like Carly Fiorina, or Ted Cruz or other radicals running for the Republican nomination for presidency, or other Republicans in government, whether some of this nasty rhetoric could be attributed to some extent to the killings. Now, I'm very leery of this, because you have the right to say hateful things. And yet we also, just as much as you have a legal right, a First Amendment right, a constitutional right to say hateful things, just as the Ku Klux Klan does have the legal right, I believe, to march, we also have the legal right, and not only the legal right, but I would argue the moral responsibility to respond when they do. The whole purpose of free speech law is that you allow the awful things to be said, and by bringing them in the light of day rather than forcing them to be said behind closed doors, you then stomp all over them with your own free speech. For every Ku Klux Klan rally with five pathetic, hateful rednecks in their robes and hoods, there should be 500 people standing up for civil rights and diversity and American freedom for all, one block over. We can beat their speech with our speech. And indeed, I would argue that because their speech is legal, and it is, as much as I don't like their speech, I recognize that banning it is more dangerous than allowing it. We have to respond to their speech with our speech. Loudly, clearly, to make clear that those values aren't our values. To me, the hatred put forward toward Planned Parenthood reminds me a lot of the Ku Klux Klan march. And we have to respond loudly and clearly with the truth, lest it inspire terrorist attacks. Apparently, the murderer in Charleston, South Carolina, the one who went into a black church and murdered a number of people while praying, people who had actually called out to pray with him, a particularly gruesome, awful, disgusting act of terror. Terror because it was a political cause, not just some guy shooting up a mall, but doing so because he wanted to kill black people, the killer said, largely because of his indoctrination. Remember, he held a Confederate flag in one hand, and he'd gone to a lot of hate websites on the other, white supremacist websites. Now, again, I'm not saying we should ban the flying of the Confederate flag by a private person on private property any more than I'm saying we should ban the Ku Klux Klan marching or people saying disgusting things about Planned Parenthood. I will say this, though. There's a point where subjective dislike becomes objective slander. That's a bunch of big words. Here's what I mean. You could say I hate abortion. You could probably describe abortion as baby killing, though of course that's imprecise. There are no babies being killed. There are potential babies. There are fetuses. There are fetuses who are not brought to term, whose life is ended. If you want to say that, that's fine. They're not really babies. Most of them, in fact, you can't have a legal abortion if a baby can live outside the mother unless a mother's life or health is in substantial danger.
So never confuse.
It's not like these potential babies could actually become babies without the willingness of the mother to carry them to term. But here's the thing. When we hear hateful rhetoric and it causes some deranged person to take a terrorist act, it doesn't really matter to me whether it's someone murdering innocent people at Planned Parenthood because of what Carly Fiorina said, or ISIS terrorists murdering 100 in France because of what some ISIS leader said, or a killer in South Carolina going into a black church and mowing down 9 innocent black worshipers because of what some white supremacist said. all our political acts killing innocent people, all our terrorism, all our mass murder, it doesn't matter what the cause is. It doesn't matter if you support the cause. It's hard for me to think of a cause for which I support that someone has done a terrorist act. But I'm sure there are some. Let's say they exist. Let's say somebody goes out and murders a bunch of people who are pro-life in the name of being pro-choice. Or murders a bunch of people. Someone goes out and murders some union member, murders a bunch of corporate bosses. Well, I'm sympathetic to union rights. But, you know, I think we need laws against corporate mistreatment of union people. I don't think you should go in and just murder them. So that, I guess, would be a terrorism on my side of the aisle. In any case, it's still terrorism. And although in that case, actually, the corporate bosses have done something wrong. It'd be more like killing the corporate bosses' wives and children. The point is there's no justification for intentionally murdering an innocent person. None, unless you are somehow preventing, I don't know, other people from dying. I mean, I can imagine in Paris, if you've got 100 hostages and they're shooting them one by one by one, and police rush in and they start shooting a bunch of people and accidentally kill an innocent person to try to stop the terrorists. I get that. But nobody's talking about this as a terrorist act. At least not that I can hear. Some mention his mental illness. Such as it was, we don't really know that he had mental illness. We know he was a drifter. We know that he was in trouble with the law. We know that he said, no more baby parts. But what they said about Planned Parenthood was not the truth, which you may disagree with, which is terminating a woman's pregnancy involves some things that might be seen as gruesome. Then again, I find heart surgery gruesome and eye surgery gruesome, so I guess abortion is equally gruesome. But she went much farther than that. She accused Planned Parenthood of selling baby parts, selling them for a profit. Now, of course, that's not true. Planned Parenthood, sometimes in the past, has gotten the expenses of transporting fetal tissue reimbursed. But if that's selling body parts, then I think you have to condemn every doctor who's done a heart transplant who got reimbursed by the hospital for the ice used to pack the heart as they traveled from the recently deceased to the life they're going to save. Are they selling body parts? And those are body parts of someone who's lived a full life, not a potential human being, but someone who's actually lived and died and consented to their donation. This rhetoric does go too far, and I've often wondered whether Planned Parenthood couldn't just sue Carly Fiorina for slander, for lying about what they do. Now, it's hard because public figures... you have a bit of, and Planned Parenthood is public too. You have a bit of a right to go after them. But these actions do have consequences, and I think it's up to us to speak out about them. I'm curious to hear what you have to say. It's 888-488 Mark. If you want to call in, 888-488-6275. Did this hateful rhetoric cause these deaths? Cause a mentally deranged man to go a little bit too far? What do you think? 888-488-MARK. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Mark Levine. Did the lies that Carly Fiorina and other Republicans told about Planned Parenthood, this doctored tape that suggests that Planned Parenthood was actually selling baby parts? Well, hey, you know, I can't even say that. That's what the killer said. They weren't baby parts. They were fetus tissue, fetal tissue. There was no baby there, and no babies were killed. Now, there were fetuses, and they were aborted, and the fetal tissue was used. That's true. But we use tissue and blood and heart donations and all the time. In fact, fetal tissue is largely what found us a cure for polio back in the 1930s. But it was enough to set off a deranged individual into murdering three people. And my question is, should we therefore condemn and try to tone down this kind of rhetoric? 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Dave in Portland on line three. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Mark. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Dave?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. I have a question for you specifically around this issue. And as I recall, you're an attorney, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How is it that we can prosecute somebody for inciting a riot, but we can't prosecute somebody for inciting an act like happened in Colorado Springs?
It's actually really hard to prosecute someone for inciting a riot, to be fair. You do have free speech rights, and it's very, very difficult. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find many prosecutions for inciting a riot. Now, you know, if there's a bunch of people and they have torches in their hands, and you say, burn that church down, and then they go ahead and burn that church down, that's the kind of thing that it would have to be required. But it's really, really hard to prove cause and effect. Obviously, I'm not defending anything that Carly Fiorina said. I'm on air attacking it. But I don't know that mm-hmm. it's prosecutable as a criminal offense. I do think it may be. She may be liable as a civil matter simply for slandering Planned Parenthood, for claiming they do an illegal activity they don't do. If I claim, Dave, that you killed someone and you didn't, well, that could harm your reputation if people believe me, and you could well sue me and say, you know, Mark lied mm-hmm. about me, and that's slander. Now, you can't put me in jail for saying that, but you could sue me, and if you can prove you were damaged, then get damages. So the only thing that I think could be done legally is I think that someone could say Carly Fiorina, and that she wasn't the only one, but these people lied about Planned Parenthood, that the lie led to these deaths and therefore, you know, pay for the lives of these people. But it's really hard to prove cause and effect. It's very hard to show that her lies directly led to this deranged man. I mean, he did say no more baby parts, so it sounds like he was listening to her. But it's still a tough case, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, legally. One thing that's not a tough case is our ability to speak out strongly, as I'm doing and as you're doing, to condemn this kind of behavior. That we have every right to do and should do.
Hmm. Okay, well, I was just curious about that.
No, it's a fair question. It's actually tougher to prosecute starting a riot than you would think. It's not, and we don't want it to be too easy, because we want people to have the right to say even awful things in free speech. What people don't have the right to do, though, is lie about things in free speech. And that's where I think Carly Fiorina and others crossed the line. Thanks for your call, Dave. We've got other callers on the line at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Talk to you in a bit.
When conservatives attack, Mark Levine is ready, Constitution in hand. And here's our favorite lawyer now.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Did angry rhetoric set off a drifter to murder three people in Colorado? And what, if anything, can be done about it? Can anything be done legally? Can anything be done morally? And why aren't the Republicans taking more responsibility for this? Why isn't the guy called a terrorist? Isn't that what he is? When you murder innocent people for some political cause, isn't the murderer a terrorist? Should we call him a radical Christian? I kind of hate to do that. I think that's kind of unfair to Christians, the vast, vast, vast majority of which are peaceful and would never do such a thing. Do we suffer from radical Christian terrorism in this country? You don't hear those words very often. Is this the kind of rhetoric that people should start using? Or maybe we should tone down all the rhetoric and call it for what it is. Namely, extremist rhetoric led to a terrorist attack, much as happens sometimes among drifters in the Muslim world, like the ones who committed a lot of the murder in France. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Reggie in Georgia on line one. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
How you doing, Mark? And happy Monday to you guys.
Happy Monday to you.
Well, yeah, I think we should tone down the rhetoric just a bit because not only is it coming from the political candidates, but like I always said before, I said it before and I'll say it again just to reiterate it for you. It's also coming from, hate talk radio and TV talk shows.
Oh, it is.
Like Fox and all of them. I mean, remember what happened to Dr. Tiller, right?
The abortion doctor in Kansas, absolutely.
Yeah, who's the one that said Tiller's a baby killer? Who was that?
I don't know.
Was that Bill O'Reilly?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up on Google. I don't know who said that.
Right, I think it was him because, isn't it illegal for people to threaten people over the airwaves or incite something over the airwaves?
It's a tricky question. That's kind of the question that Dave from Portland asked me. It is illegal to order a hit on someone, right, to say go kill someone.
Yes,
particularly
is.
For money. On the radio, it's hard. I mean, you're allowed, and we allow a certain bit of rhetoric because we allow under the First Amendment, we have to be able to attack our public officials and even to do so in ways that are quite nasty. And that's honestly an American tradition. I mean, you can go back to Adams and Jefferson. People say horrendous things about President Barack Obama, but to be fair, some people said horrendous things about George W. Bush.
Right.
And you could say that hundreds of thousands of people who died in Iraq, it's due to George W. Bush. And if I were to say that in a more inflammatory way, somebody might try to kill George W. Bush. Now, there are definitely more inflammatory ways than the way I just put it. But
right.
you're allowed political rhetoric. I guess Dr. Tiller was a public he wasn't really a public official because he wasn't elected, but he did do something that is controversial. Abortions are controversial. It's certainly wrong and in bad taste and awful to say things like that. And I would certainly condemn such speech. Whether it rises to the level of a legal wrong, I don't know that it does. And that's because our law gives wide berth to people who want to criticize public officials. So, as I said, if the Ku Klux Klan is allowed to march, and the Ku Klux Klan is allowed to say the disgusting things that they say, including entirely false things about white superiority or it's interesting. If a Ku Klux Klan leader says burn down that church,
right?
I think that would just barely cross the line, but just barely. Because
right.
he's asking for a specific action against a specific church. But what if he were to say, instead of, because whoever said that didn't say go kill Dr. Tiller.
Right.
What if he were to say, I'll give you an example from the other side. There was, what's his name? Farrakhan, Louis
right.
Farrakhan. Said that Jewish doctors injected black babies with AIDS. He made that claim 30 years ago or whatever. Obviously,
right.
the claim was false, wasn't true. It was very similar, I think, to the claim, Dr. Tiller, the baby killer, because he's basically arguing that Jewish doctors murdered black babies. So he's calling Jewish doctors murderers. It's false. And if some person listening to Louis Farrakhan had killed a Jewish doctor because of it, could we try Louis Farrakhan? Probably not, even though the rhetoric was hateful and wrong and should be condemned, and I would condemn it.
Right.
Now, if he said go out and kill that doctor, that would be another story. So the Ku Klux Klan can't say burn down that black church, but they probably could say the black church teaches blacks something awful and to kill white people or whatever, something ridiculous like that. So it's very – the law really protects a lot of nasty rhetoric. But it does so mostly so that those of us of goodwill can respond to nasty rhetoric with positive speech. And that's why I that to me we certainly can do and certainly should do and condemn in the the loudest terms Carly Fiorina or right. Ted Cruz or whoever called Dr. Tiller those nasty names or Louis Farrakhan or the Ku Klux Klan for any kind of hateful rhetoric that can lead to violence. And right. That's what I'm trying to do today. But legally, it's really, really tough. It's the same question Dave from Portland asked me. I understand why we give a lot of leeway in free speech. I don't like it when – I mean, look at the Westboro Church where they came out to – they had Iraqi war veterans who had died serving their country. And right. they claimed that somehow the nation being fair to gay people caused these people to die in Iraq. It's just awful, awful stuff. And of course they use rhetoric much, much stronger than I'm using on the air right now. Right. But again, I think they have the legal right to do it, even if it's atrocious and disgusting and we should all condemn it as much as possible.
Right. But some mentally ill person out there is going to take these people seriously.
Well, that's true.
As if by gospel, they're going to take.
Well, that's true.
As face value and as gospel, right?
That's true. And you got to remember the people who are making this rhetoric. I mean, at least Westboro Church or the Ku Klux Klan luckily have few followers today, at least open followers, and most people just see them as – but these are Republican presidential candidates, right?
Right?
These are people running for president of the United States. If there's anyone who should be careful about their rhetoric, it's someone running for the highest office in the land. We have every right to hold presidential candidates to a much, much higher standard than we hold some crazy preacher – nobody who leads a group of 30 people in hate, right? So
right.
Just because it's legal does not mean that it's to be sanctioned or that it's right or that it shouldn't be condemned in the strongest possible terms. And I think it's fascinating that Carly Fiorina hasn't apologized.
Right.
Ted Cruz hasn't apologized
right.
for their nasty rhetoric. And even you look at a Jeb Bush or a Donald Trump or a Marco Rubio, they're not condemning Carly Fiorina.
Right.
That so,
even Ben Carson. What about him?
No, he's not. I haven't heard him condemn Carly Fiorina. I don't remember what he said about Planned Parenthood. I don't. He probably did say something extreme. He said a lot of extreme things, but I don't recall anything specifically
right.
he said.
Right, now they're accusing these exact same people are accusing Planned Parenthood of politicizing this tragedy.
The tragedy is already political. That's like saying that mentioning that ISIS terrorists murdered people in France is politicizing the tragedy. The people who murdered in France did so because they were caught up in this hateful rhetoric of ISIS. The man who murdered three innocent people in Colorado was caught up in this hateful rhetoric of Carly Fiorina. So let's call it for what it is. Even if we can't jail her, we can say that she's not fit to be president because she uses such hateful language. And
right.
I think that's what we should say.
Right. That's good. That's true. And, people, like I said, how long would it take before something else happens because of what these people say?
Well, I hope they tone the rhetoric down. I hope they learn their lesson. I hope that people remember that rhetoric has consequences and will watch such terms and save the most hateful rhetoric only for the most hateful people.
Right.
It's really, I haven't said, I haven't said, Carly Fiorina, the Planned Parenthood killer or whatever. I mean, you could see how people could take that and suddenly there'd be an attack on her life, and that would be just as wrong. It has to stop.
Right.
And that's why calling it out, I think, is the best way to make it stop. And I think that people should challenge her and should protest against her and say, stop your rhetoric. People are dying. She actually came on air. It was fascinating to me. She came on air. I forget which program it was. And she said, I will not be intimidated into saying the truth. Now, she probably meant to say something else. She probably meant to say, I will not be intimidated into telling a lie. But she actually said, I will not be intimidated into telling the truth. And clearly she won't be because she's not telling the truth. And so I thought that was a fantastic Freudian slip. Thanks for your call, Reggie. Always
Thank
appreciate
you,
when you call. Let me
you.
Go to line two, Old Faithful, Michael from the Bronx. How are you, Michael?
Hey, Mark. I'm glad to be on with you. First of all, just to confirm. The baby killer comment was from Bill O'Reilly.
Was it? Okay, I didn't know that, I didn't want to say so on the air. But all right, he shouldn't say
that's
such things.
That's why you got people like me, Old Faithful, to
all right.
help you out.
Well, I appreciate that. I knew it was on Google somewhere.
Right. And also, Bill O'Reilly's the same one that said, in regards to Black Lives Matter, I'm determined to put these people out of business permanently. He comes up with all these different rhetorics, and believe it or not, now there have been threats and even death threats towards members of Black Lives Matter that protest against police brutality.
Yeah, I mean, that's really awful. I mean, the movement is there precisely because innocent people are being murdered, and then to blame the movement and then cause more innocent people to be murdered, it's truly disgusting.
But there's a connection here, Mark, and here's another thing to help you out. You were saying that it's not much you can do legally to hold people like Carly Fiorina responsible. Let me give you a case study, and everybody that's listening to me, I don't care if you're from the left or from the right, take down this case note. People of Arizona versus Shawna Ford. Now, Shawna Ford is pretty much the same, pretty much did the same thing as Carly Fiorina did, issued a blatant lie against legal immigrants towards and who did she tell it to? Her following, saying that these are the people that you must take out, and take them out before they take you out. You guys are armed. Do whatever what you have to do.
See, this is that line that's really tricky to cross. Remember, I said that if a Klansman said that black churches do awful things, he could probably get away with it. If he said, go out and burn that black church, then that would be legally incitement. If Fiorina says Planned Parenthood does awful things, that's not the same as saying, go shoot those abortion doctors. And I think the difference in the case that you cite is, and I haven't read the case, is my guess is in that case, the person actively said, go take them out. In other words, named a specific victim and said, go kill, go harm a specific victim. That's the line. It's a tricky line, but that's the line that you can't cross.
The thing is, Mark, is that they're issuing rhetoric that either directly or indirectly full of malice.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the point. It indirectly killed, and they stay just on this side of the legal line, is what I'm saying, and that's why we have to call them out.
And by the same token, this goes as far back as Sarah Palin with her crosshair targets maps. And lo and behold, who was the one that was directly affected or who was targeted? Former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, who was one of the targets listed on that map. So the thing is that the big question is, how the heck is it that these right-wingers will get away with their hateful rhetoric and their either direct or indirect message, quote, end of quote, to their followers?
Well, they're not getting away with it, at least as far as I'm concerned. That's why I'm calling her out. Yeah.
But the thing is that let somebody on the left call for action or for justice or whatever the case may be towards those right-wingers, and those right-wingers demand for our arrest. And sure enough, the people that speak up are the ones arrested and falsely prosecuted. There's a double standard here going on, Mark, and it's so despicable that people who are peaceful, law-abiding civilians are targeted with the most malicious rhetoric, followed by or subsequented by malicious violent actions by police, by people on the right, and nothing is never done with them.
Yeah,
right. No, we're the ones that are suffering.
I hear you. I think the best I don't think people should be jailed normally for their speech unless they actively go out and say, go kill someone. But I do think they need to be condemned in the loudest possible terms, and that's what I'm trying to do right here today. Thanks for your call, Michael. I appreciate it. Got to take a break. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. When we come back, I want to talk about why it is that abortion pushes so many buttons in America and whether there's any way out of that. Feel free to call in on that or any other question in the 10 minutes we have left right after this.
Schooling the GOP, one hand tied behind his back, the Constitution in the other. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Many of you know I'm going to start serving in Richmond as a state representative, as a delegate representing Northern Virginia, starting in January. So December, next month, will be my last month on radio for a while. I will come back after session is over. We're having a legislative session in Virginia. It only lasts a little over 2 months. So by the end of March, I should be back on the air, and you'll only be gone for a couple months, 2-3 months, and you'll have Leslie Marshall filling in for me, so you'll have a familiar voice. Sorry about that, but my duty calls, and I have been elected, and I have to serve my constituents. So this will be the last month you hear me until, let's say, late March or so of 2016. But in running for office, I can tell you that one of the issues, probably the single issue that causes the most hateful rhetoric, the most anger, the most emotion, the most people not listening to each other in America, above everything, is abortion. It's not gay rights. It's not even gun laws, although that's probably second. I'd say gun laws is second. It's not war in the Middle East or even war at all. It wasn't even the Iraq War. It wasn't caring about poor people, minimum wage or the environment or young people going to college. No. It's not even about the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. It's abortion. And whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, those are the terms we use, whether you believe or not that abortion should be legal, whether you believe that a woman should be able to control her own body and decide whether or not to have a child, or whether you believe that any woman who purposely terminates a pregnancy is in fact killing a baby, is a highly emotional issue. It puts two very strong concerns, one against the other. For those of us who are pro-choice, we're thinking about the woman. We're thinking about the life that exists, that has existed for a long time, whether that young woman be a 14-year-old teenager who had sex with her boyfriend or was raped by someone or just the condom broke or didn't use birth control because she didn't know better, but wants to go ahead and live her life, go to college, have a decent life, and have a child later. Or whether it's someone who can't afford to have a baby, already has several mouths to feed. We're thinking about the people who are here. For those that are pro-life, they're thinking about the potential life. They're anthropomorphizing it. They're thinking of these cells that are growing that would eventually become a life. They're thinking of it as a life. All of us would be opposed, should be opposed, all of us. Any rational person is opposed to killing babies. Once a child can live on its own, it admittedly still needs food and shelter, but can live on its own, taking a life is murder. But when a child is in the mother's womb, when a child can't live outside the mother's womb, when a child requires a mother in order to be born, I don't consider that a fully formed life. And you can go back further. It's funny that you never find people who call abortion murder complain that when a woman has a miscarriage, she has committed negligent homicide. If you accidentally kill a baby, that's a crime in America. But a woman who goes running and has a miscarriage, well, we just understand that's part of life. You can go even further back. Think of all the sperm and egg that isn't used to make a baby. The point is, you're never going to persuade anyone on abortion. I've tried. It's really, really hard to do. At least whatever your views are, we need to respect those who disagree and move on as fellow Americans. This is Mark Levine, signing off.